The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into another week. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner, and we're going to get in the weeds with John because this is a big week in the college football playoff world that will impact Arizona State. And some of you will laugh. This will impact Arizona, too. It's about scheduling and how the SEC and the Big Ten are both trying to dive out of schedules that they already have in place. If you've looked at ASU's schedule in the coming years, there's LSU, there's Texas. If you looked at U of A's schedule, there's Alabama. This is going to have big ramifications on the CFP for next fall and moving forward. So we're going to get deep into the weeds with John on that. I also want to talk to John about what happened down at U of A with the fans and the student section, actually, and the bleep, the Mormons chant that they were putting out. And BYU is here on Wednesday in Tempe, so I would hope that people around the ASU world would be looking at what happened in Tucson and saying, we better take some precautions. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We appreciate the support of the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen, behind the scenes. If anything goes wrong on the show, it is his fault, not mine. I got a surprise. This is a birthday present. It's like a 6 and a 0, okay? Yeah, that happened over the weekend. Get out of here. Let's see if I can get these out of here. Destroy the set. yeah, that happened over the weekend. It was great. There was a little surprise for me from some people. I do appreciate it. It's just a number, right? But in the last couple of weeks, becoming a grandfather for the first time, hitting 6-0, cool things. I'm going to see the grandson next week for the first time, and life is good. Life is very good. I had a great weekend. Great weekend. Daughter came out from Chicago. Guy she's going to marry in October. I got to walk my daughter down the aisle in October, and I like him. I'm not quite sure about her, but I like him. So that's how it works when you have daughters, as you guys know. The sports news of the day, and there's a couple of segments because I want a little extra time to go into the scouting combine, and we'll do that here in a few minutes. I don't know what would give anybody hope that the Suns would figure things out after watching just the debacle on Sunday. And no, I didn't watch much of it because it's just not worth the time or the aggravation. But I know that this market loves the Suns deeply and is one of those where we don't care, we're just fans, and that's all great, but man, is the product. And on top of that, I watched USA Canada, and whole family watched USA Canada, and it was gripping. It was great. It was great theater. It makes the NBA look that much more, and the NFL. It makes the NFL and the NBA look that much more silly with how disgusting their all-star games are and how it's just a ripoff. And at some point, you would hope the TV networks would just say, we're not going to carry this stuff. Why would we carry this stuff? But of course, it's we'll write a check and we'll put garbage on the air. Hockey, I've always loved hockey. We don't do enough hockey because I didn't like any of the owners. I didn't trust any of the owners. I didn't hear good things around town about any of the owners through the years. I didn't. And, you know, you like the players, but I cannot, it's like when Sarver owned the Suns towards the end. It's like when Herm and AP were over at ASU. It's like stuff around the Cardinals. It's very hard for me to just sit here and to turn off the smell. I can't do that. And I won't do that. The day we start compromising on, well, we're not going to put this, we got to put this group on because, oh my gosh, look at all the views, look at all that. No, we're not doing that. We're not playing into the game. We're not. We're not going to sit here and just say everything is great when it's not. And you can go up and down the aisle on the teams here in town. And you can go up and down if you've watched this through the years. I had somebody in a media executive space that said, "We would love for you to come back and be on the radio here in town. Love for you, but you got to play by our rules with the teams and this." It's like, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. There are no rules in our business. There's thoughts that you know you're walking up to a line. There's times where none of the stuff is personal. It's just business. If I'm borrowing a line from the Godfather, but you know, when things are bad, they're bad. When things are good, they're good. It's just not that hard. And to sit here the whole time and go, rah, rah, go team and all that nonsense, forget it. We got enough of that nonsense going on right now. We have people being given access and credentials to all sorts of events that have no business being there. None. Zero. Zip. And it happens at all levels. High school's the worst. Hard for them to police who's going to be sent in and sent out. But somebody's got to do it. College, not so bad, but if you don't say the right things with certain colleges, they get bent out of shape. Or they just, you know, we're better than everybody else. No, you're not. You put your pants on the same way. We don't care. Pro teams, there's some very good PR people in town, and there's some people in town that just, it's all about them. And I'm not going to participate. I'm not. We will get it done. We don't have to go down that path. Yes, I'm on a rant today. I'm feeling frisky. I guess it's 60 does. So, you know, the way that the Suns look right now, it's a disinterested. Like, the NBA product's bad during the regular season. We've been very consistent on that. It's as though my brethren are just waking up to this fact. Like, in the last year, they finally are starting to bring out the sledgehammer. Or they don't want to say it publicly because, well, we're the rights holder. That shouldn't matter. Well, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Then get out. Get out of the business. Because you're not being truthful to the consumer. You're not. You people pay so much and take so much of your time. And if you're watching dog food, because we sit there and say, oh, it's so great. We're fans. No, that's nonsense. It's BS. Better than that. Look at this. Iron Man, I've run long here in the first segment. Let's take a break and then I'll come back and get into more. And then we'll have John Wilner. Stick with us. So when we were last together last week, we had Tyler Shuck on the stream show here. We take stuff of this, we put it on all of our TV shows, by the way. So if you miss some of it, or you go over to the website, or you go to our YouTube page, or all that stuff, okay? So we had Tyler on because the Combine is this week. Tyler Shuck is one of the more intriguing candidates at this year's NFL Scouting Combine. He was in high school the same year as Brock Purdy. Brock's been in the NFL now 3 years. Tyler's not because he's been hurt. He's had COVID years. He's transferred all over the place. And he's now in a space where I think he's better for it. He's married. He's 25 years of age, much more mature than some of the guys that'll be on stage this week. We call it the Underwear Olympics. Those of you that have seen this show through the years know that we used to go to the Combine. Yeah, we did. And I started looking at it like, wow. They're going to parade out, like this year, it's Saturday, they're going to parade out all the quarterbacks, and you have about 20 minutes, 20 minutes to get the players. And in that time, there's, I don't know, 500 media, 600 media, and so you get nothing unique, you get nothing to yourself. They may know you, but there's no way you can get to them because it's piranha. It's carp at a dock at Lake Powell. Throw corn in there. That's what it is. And I looked at it like, this is really dumb. What are we doing here other than just to say, look at us. We're at the Combine. It's really cool. No, it's not. And the Combine is, it's been in Indianapolis since 1987. And we had a group from Phoenix last year, smartly, that went to the Combine. And the Combine may start moving around. I don't know if they would open it up. I doubt they'd open it up. Are the facilities here in Arizona, because the contingent from Arizona was there to pitch, bring the NFL scouting combine to Phoenix. Okay, if you're at Glendale and you have the stadium, you have the meeting rooms, you have all that stuff, Is it convenient for media to get to? Is the weather this week's going to be great, but you're indoors. Does that really matter? You're not in downtown Phoenix. Does that matter? So there's a lot of parts that go into the combine. And we're in a space now where a guy like Tyler Shuck has been battle tested. So him going to the combine, he can go do some things, but Shedeur Sanders is saying, I'm not going to work out. He doesn't need to. He needs to do his pro day. Okay, I get that. And they can do their personal workouts. But are we getting to the stage of combines don't mean as much as they used to? We don't need to go to the combine. Yeah, it is low-hanging fruit if you're talking about players and all that stuff. And I like the draft. I got asked to do a draft show in April, and we're working through the location, all this stuff, and who's going to be part of it. But it's one of those events that you'll see and hear a lot of it this week. And here in Phoenix, because the Suns are so bad and unwatchable right now, and Arizona State, I don't know if Bobby's going to make it or not. BJ Freeman gets kicked off the team. It's another, you're just kind of looking at it like, how much longer are we going to go through this? Yeah, BYU here on Wednesday. What's security going to be like at the game Wednesday after what happened to BYU down in Tucson on Saturday night? But are those things that are really going to move the needle? Are they really going to move? The answer is no. No. And so the combine is going to be full front and center this week. It will be. All right. On the other side, John Wilner and I are going to go deep and in the weeds on the college football playoff and how your Sun Devils or your Wildcats are going to be impacted by meetings starting tomorrow. Tomorrow in Dallas. With the CFP looking at making some big moves, actually, they not, the SEC and the Big Ten saying, I think we're going to start scheduling each other. And if you're in other conferences and we already have contracts, we'll just buy our way out of those. And we'll get as many bids as possible. We'll get into that. Also, what did John think of what happened in Tucson at the end of the BYU U of A game? Was it a foul? Was it not a foul? The fans' reactions, the apology, late night apology by U of A, Bobby Hurley, his future, and kicking off a player from the team. That is all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussman. All right, John Wilner with us for a few minutes, and John was just saying offline that we could go a couple hours. Do we really have that much? Well, I guess we do, because I'm counting this week of the SEC, Big Ten, and the expansion. You're probably getting into U of A, BYU, Bobby Hurley dismissing a player. What am I missing? That's a lot. Is it
That's a lot.
2 hours? Is it 2 hours? What am I missing, John?
Well, the college football playoff piece has a lot of tentacles.
Okay.
It's not just about going from 12 to 14. It's about a broader strategy for the Big Ten and the SEC that could impact the ACC and the Big 12 and everybody. It's about the college football calendar. It's about the NFL impact. There's so much to it, and I don't know that we want to get into all of that,
Of course
but
we
that
do. Of
itself
course we do.
is a ton, plus what we've got going on in college hoops in the state of Arizona, which is some very interesting developments in both Tempe and Tucson.
Yeah, okay. So let us peel the onion back on the football side. What I am seeing is the Big Ten and the SEC are saying, we don't like the way that this is set up, and we're looking ahead to be the big behemoths, and we want to swallow up the Big 12. And we want to swallow up any other the ACC, any other conference that comes along. That was their strategy last week. I heard there were lawyers in the room last week on this whole thing.
I'm sure. They're
So,
because they're scared. They don't want to get sued.
right. So, John, walk us through why this is a big week in college football for the playoff.
Well, so the playoff, the management committee, which is made up of the 10 conference commissioners plus Notre Dame's athletic director, are meeting tomorrow in Dallas. I don't know that there will be any hard news. I'm not sure they're going to come out and say either we have made changes for next season's playoffs or we are making changes for the following year's playoffs, because starting in 26, they don't need unanimity. The SEC and Big Ten can just kind of ram through whatever they want. The change that could happen tomorrow for next season's playoff is getting rid of the automatic buys for the conference champions and just having the seeds match the rankings. So ASU and Boise State would not, under that format, ASU and Boise State would not have had opening round buys because they weren't top four seeds. Only the first four teams in the actual rankings would get the buys. That's the one major change that we could see for next season. But beyond that, in 2026, the SEC and Big Ten seems like they want to go to 14. They want to set a certain number of automatic qualifiers for each conference, four each for them. So you could have a 7-5 or 8-4 team from the SEC getting in and a 10-2 Big 12 team getting left out because the Big 12 might only have two bids and the SEC gets four. So there, but there's a lot of implications for that. Now, the one thing I that folks need to understand is you might say, why do they want this? Okay, you have to reverse engineer it. They want money. They want more money. They're not going to get more money by expanding the playoff to 14. ESPN's not obligated to pay extra money. The way they can get more money is by changing their regular season schedules. So they could, the SEC could add a ninth conference game. That's worth more money to ESPN. And they could start a inter-conference schedule. So you'd have Big Ten teams playing SEC teams throughout the season. That's also worth more money. So what happened?
Let me jump in here on that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so in this, for Arizona State and U of A, if they currently have SEC, like next in September, September 5th, ASU's at Mississippi State, those games are probably going to be gassed at some point if this
those type of games, yes.
Those type of games.
Right.
Okay, so U of A, ASU, if you're looking at Big Ten or SEC teams on your schedule saying, this is going to be awesome, this is going to be amazing, probably not going to happen.
I think those are in jeopardy. ASU's got a bunch. I think they got LSU. They got Texas. Mm-hmm. Arizona's got Alabama coming up. So if they create the – if the Big Ten and SEC create this in-season scheduling series, what does that do? Well, that puts teams from both conferences at greater risk for losses, right? I mean, if LSU's playing Michigan, there's a better chance LSU's going to have an extra loss. And they don't trust the selection committee to – treat strength of schedule properly. So what they want to do is they want to basically nudge the selection committee aside when it comes to selecting the teams. How do you do that? By creating automatic qualifiers. The SEC would have four automatic qualifiers, and the SEC would pick how those teams are selected. The selection committee itself, all it would do is seed teams. So they don't trust the committee. That's why they want to put in the automatic qualifiers. So they get the money from the in-season series, and they don't get punished because they get the automatic qualifiers. But if they create an in-season series, here's the best example. In 20, I think it's 2029, LSU's got to play at Utah. If LSU's got nine SEC games, and they're playing a Big Ten crossover, say it's Wisconsin or Penn State, they don't want to go to Utah also, right? Because your non-conference games would affect your seeding in the playoff. So any games between the SEC and Big Ten and other conferences, I think, are in serious jeopardy. So they could just buy their way out of all those games and schedule an FCS team or a Group of Five team instead of playing at Arizona or at ASU or at Utah. That's why there's a ripple effect all the way at the top. Why are they creating the AQs in the playoff? Scheduling series, future elimination of games. So the Big 12 and ACC may end up having to create their own scheduling series to replace the games they lose with the Big 10 and the SEC.
Okay, the one question, the one team you've not mentioned in here except in passing is Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is sitting out there. They're going to be in the room. Notre Dame becomes this, well, they have always been an attractive option.
Yep.
They're going to have an even bigger hammer, it sounds like, on this whole deal, right?
Well, they won't have a bigger hammer for 2026 and beyond because they don't have a vote. Technically, they don't have a vote in that. But their positioning is going to improve. part of the ACC's agreement a couple weeks ago to get Clemson and Florida State to basically accept membership and drop their lawsuits, which I think is going to happen, is Notre Dame's going to get more games. You know, they have the scheduling series with the ACC. Five, I think it's five games a year. They're going to get more games against Florida State, Miami, and Clemson in this rotation with the ACC. But Notre Dame is in a great spot because in this new playoff, right, as long as they're 10-2, they're going to get a spot in the playoff. And if they eliminate, if they just go to a straight seeding where your ranking correlates to your seed, Notre Dame is going to be in position to get byes, whereas they can't right now because they can't be a top four seed. Notre Dame could get byes. Notre Dame gets a ton of money. Notre Dame gets more good games against the ACC. Notre Dame has zero reason to stop being independent. It's like the whole CFP system is moving toward what Notre Dame wants.
Right.
And so them joining the Big Ten or the ACC longer term, I don't see why they do it given the way things are developing.
Okay, one other question on this. John Wilner with us. I love going deep into the weeds. This is a big week in terms of college football news, and that is here in Arizona. Help me understand this, the viability for Arizona State and U of A to switch off every year to play Northern Arizona University. In this new world that we're coming into, I'm looking at that saying, is this really viable? Is this really something that should happen for these two programs if, in fact, they want to be atop of the heap? Or, no, that one's okay as long as their other non-cons are stronger.
I think they're going to continue with at least one of the three non-conference games would be a FCS team like NIU. I don't see why what could happen would impact that game. But, you know, every dollar is at stake here for those both of those schools. So some deal where it works financially, and I don't even know if there you consider state funds or the Arizona Regents do something to make this thing, the series with NAU, more financially appealing to Arizona and ASU. They probably ought to look at something like that. But just from the competitive landscape situation, I don't see why either the Wildcats or the Sun Devils would want to necessarily drop NAU from their rotation.
Sure. Okay. That's fair enough. I had to ask on that, John.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so let's move over to U of A basketball and the crowd. This is a bigger topic of what can you actually do against a crowd. Doesn't matter if it's student section or kids acting or adults acting as juveniles, as they did the other night. Yeah, it was a bad call from every angle, except I did see one angle at the end of the U of A BYU game for the fans that are tuning in saying, what are you guys talking about? John, I'm assuming you saw the end of the game, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it looked like a lot of acting, but I saw one where he was hooked, it looked to me. Regardless, fan etiquette, is there any etiquette at all? And for the AD, for U of A to issue a statement at 1 a.m. in the morning apologizing says an awful lot about how bad a behavior there was.
Yeah, it was grotesque. I think Arizona was very smart getting ahead of that as best it could with a statement that night and not letting it get into Sunday morning without any comment. I think that was very smart of Arizona to be proactive. It's hard to stop something like that, right? I mean, it's just vulgar, and you wish Arizona wouldn't do that. Certainly the crowd, the students were infuriated by that call, and it was a terrible call. I think I probably saw the angle you did, and my view is contact itself does not mean a foul. And I did not think Townsend did anything that he should not have been doing. And he was in proper defensive position. And the official who was right there didn't call it.
Right.
It was Tony Padilla at midcourt. And I saw, he looked to me like he was obstructed and he still called it. It was ridiculous. But it does not in any way, shape, or form justify that behavior from Arizona. I mean, to me, it was like something out of the 1973 WAC days when BYU was just despised and there was more of that kind of thing with the anti-LDS across the whack. It was so unfortunate. You haven't seen quite, there's still some of that, but not nearly as much. For it to come up from Arizona, just really unfortunate, disappointing. And, you know, I don't know what the school can do other than when BYU comes to McHale next year. Assuming that they are coming next year, they got to try to be proactive again.
Okay. So BYU is here Wednesday against ASU. And ASU's student section can get really nasty.
Yep.
Every student section, if anybody's like, oh, our student section never says anything, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
And you can go all the way back to when Steve Kerr was at the U of A and his father was assassinated.
Yep.
And this has been going on with poor behavior for a long, long time. I don't know if you give warnings before the game starts. I've seen coaches grab the microphone. We talk about court storming. We talk about all sorts of things that have to do with crowds. We actually talk more about crowds now in the news cycle than I think we do the games.
And it's, sometimes we do, yeah.
How was the crowd? Well, what does it matter? U of A gave up
right.
90 points. You're going to lose when you give up over 90 points. And so I'm just wondering, John, is this going to be the front end of something? Could this be a bad week here in Tempe because it's Wednesday that they're coming?
I know it's Wednesday, and certainly Arizona, you know, there's a lot of frustration among ASU basketball fans.
Sure.
I think the school could try to be proactive, right? Grammar City could issue a statement ahead of time. They could try to, you know, have security near the student section. Bobby Hurley may need to get on the mic, but it's hard to stop it. You know, if it starts, and it's certainly hard to prevent, you kind of got to cross your fingers and hope sanity prevails. But yeah, if I'm ASU, I would certainly be thinking about what I can do right now. If I'm the Big 12, I would be talking to ASU right now about it. And just you kind of hope for the best, right?
Sure.
And certainly if there are no issues on the court and the students feel like, you know, they're engrossed in the game and there isn't a super controversial call, you know, not that it's the official's fault for what happens in the stands, but those are the kind of things that spark outrage and can lead to it. You just got to hope for a well-played competitive game, then the fans are engrossed in the competition.
Yeah, I mean, BJ Freeman getting kicked off the team. So
yeah.
when Bobby goes down to Tucson, he's always hated. Actually, U of A basketball fans will tell me, we love Bobby Hurley. We want him to stay as a coach.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Whatever. So BJ Freeman getting kicked off, does it do anything to you? It's a leading scorer. Is it another guy? If you go through Bobby's run here, he's run through a lot of players. Programs run through a lot of players. Is it another, hey, is this the end for Bobby? Is it coming? I thought their win on Sunday may have said, you know what, we got a bad apple out of here. Let's get it going now. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see in the next couple of weeks. But I do think if you look at the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, the headbutt, Hurley's situation with Arizona, you know, the technical fouls and ejections, those to me, you know, are signs that, you know, maybe the culture's not as good as you'd like. Maybe the accountability factor is not what you'd like when combined with the losses. You can be losing a lot and still have a good culture. You can be losing a lot and have indications that maybe the head coach is losing a little control, that his message isn't getting through to the players. And those are the kind of things that if you're an athletic director where you start to think, do we need to make a change here? I happen to think that Hurley, you know, it's pretty easy to see a scenario to me where they make a change. I don't think we can't reach that conclusion yet because we'll see what the impact of removing Freeman from the dynamic has the next couple weeks. But you can see it, to me, you can see it easier than you have in the past few seasons when I learned there's been a little bit of fan grumbling.
Sure. And I think there's been a little bit of movement behind the scenes from my understanding on Desert Financial Arena.
Yeah.
If you're gonna put a clean slate out there, it's come build something with us.
Right.
You're the new coach. You're the new this, you're the new that. You have to look at how they're going to market it and PR it and all that, too.
So. You do. Absolutely. And it's worth the thing is that the dollars are going to become so much more important once they start sharing with the revenue with athletes that you have to look at, you know, NIL, ticket sales, concessions, all that stuff is even more important, and you got to factor in the coach and the trajectory of the program under that coach.
Yeah, you can't have shoe squeakers, as I like to say. It's
yep.
Very few
yep.
people there, and you can hear their shoes squeaking. Appreciate you as always. Good stuff. Stay well. See you next week.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.